Mashud, you're an amazing, amazing Gvart. This is Gvaldik, the Kavod, Parshas Chayesara, and Ras Machpelah. Obviously, as we know, yesterday there were tens of thousands of Frum Jews throughout the city of Hebron, Ras Machpelah, but we can't fail to appreciate the zechus that we have to be able to actually go to the Hebron, go to the Ras Machpelah. Wasn't always so simple, if at all possible, altogether. And just to give you a quick perspective, pre-1948, when the British were still in control of Palestine, as many may be aware, Jews were forbidden under rule of law from entering the Ma'ara altogether. They were allowed to climb up to the seventh step leading up to the Ma'ara, and that was it. The Muslims claimed this is their mosque. No Jew may defile the mosque by even climbing above the seventh step. Ad kedei kach, a father and his little son in the 1930s were visiting the Ma'ara. The father, being older and knowing the rules of the land, stops at the seventh step. The little son pushes his way in his excitement to the eighth step. An Arab guard brutally kicks him, hurls him down the entire staircase. Little kid, because he dare put his foot on the eighth step. When the Gerebbe Imre Emes came to the Maras Machpelah in the 1920s, and his Hasidim, were all very excited to get the Rebbe to the Maras Machpelah, and they dared step on the eighth step, numerous Hasidim were arrested, taken to trial under the British mandate. And the Rebbe had to be quickly rushed back to Yerushalayim before they would arrest him too. So this was not so pashut before 1948. And then 48 to 67, there was no entry to Hebron Bechlal. And even post 67, that Baruch Hashem, Jews are allowed back into the Ma'ara, but we're not allowed to go into the area that is called Kever Yitzchak, except Parshas Chayesara, one of those few times over the course of the year that we can enter that part of the Ma'ara as well. And shouldn't take it for granted. Should not take it for granted. There was a baby boy born in March of 1975 who was the first baby to be circumcised in the Maras Machpelah in centuries. That was the first bris in the Maras Machpelah in centuries, 1975. Baby's boy was named Avram, most appropriately, Avraham Nachshon, son of Baruch and Sarah Nachshon. 4 months later, tragically, this little baby Avram died in his crib, SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, unexplained, found dead in his crib. So his grieving parents drove with him to the old Jewish cemetery in Hebron, which was last used to bury the Slabodka Yeshiva students who were tortured, and massacred by bloodthirsty Arabs in 1929. And there was going to be the first Jewish burial in that cemetery since 1929. Now, 1975, we're talking about 46 years later. And the IDF was so afraid of the status quo, that a military jeep blocked the entrance to the cemetery, refused to let them enter. And this mourning mother got out of her car, picked up the lifeless body of her baby boy in Tachrichim, and just walked straight toward the cemetery. And the IDF officer had the common sense to recognize you don't start a fight with a mother mourning her baby boy just died at 4 months of age. And that baby, Avram Nachshon, was the first baby not just to be circumcised in Maras Machpelah in centuries, but to be buried in the Jewish cemetery of Hebron since 1929. On his matseva, it says, Kana begufo achuzat kever. Clear reference to yesterday's parsha of Avram making the first purchase in Eretz Yisrael, first land owned by a Jew in Eretz Yisrael, referred to as achuzat kever. And it's actually quite stunning that this happened only as Sarah's body is lying out on the ground in public. If you think about it, and this is the beautiful insight that I read from Professor Yoel Elitzur, quoting his father, Professor Yehuda Elitzur. Consider the fact that Avram Avinu was the wealthiest, most respected man in the region. This was the man who single-handedly defeated four mighty kings in battle. This is the man who has amassed a following, Rambam writes, of tens of thousands of people. This is the man who has been made wealthy beyond wealthy by power, by Avimelech. He's the most respected man in the country. And he doesn't even own a piece of land to his name. He's living last week's parsha, Beilone Mamre. He's got to live in his buddy Mamre's property. He's traveling, he's wandering, he's got no place to call his own. And this is despite God having promised him six times, I'll give you the land to your entire country, to you and to your children. He's got not a piece of land to name his own. And it seems, says Elitzur, that right now, as his wife Sarah is lying on the ground and everyone has come to pay respects, he has decided this might be the opportunity God has been waiting to give me to find land to bury my wife. In fact, the Chizkuni writes, Vayavo Avram lispod l'Sara and then v'lifkosa. Chizkuni says he was maspider first, then he started crying again because he had no place to bury her. What a bizayon. She's lying on the floor, no place to bury her. So Elitzur suggests a beautiful reading of the Psukim. Incredible. He says it was common in antiquity that people had an aversion. It was taboo to sell your family-owned land to a foreigner. Just think about Beno Slavchad, one shevet being maver nachla to another. Even now, think about what happens when Arabs sell property to Jews in East Jerusalem. It was taboo in antiquity as well for anyone to sell family-owned land to a foreigner. So Avram is respected. He's loved. As long as he's a transient nomad. But no one's giving a piece of land there. It's Canaan. No one. So he decides, Avram, that right now is my chance. He tells Bnei Ches, as his wife is on the floor, I want an achuzas kever. Achuza meaning to be owned forever. And then, and only then, the ekparas may see. Only then will I bury her. As if to say, she's lying here. I've got to bury her. I need a land to own. Achuzas kever, he calls it. What do Bnei Ches say? And this is the beautiful diak of Professor Elitzur. They say, we love you, respect you, you're such a prince. Bury your dead in our graves. No one will stop from bearing your mace in his grave. Meaning, says Professor Elitzur, go right ahead and bury her in our land, not in yours. It's our graves, but we let you bury her in our graves. And Avram, realizing what's going on here, as Elitzur writes, he says, it looks like a very courteous, respectful dialogue. Avram bows twice. They call him a prince. He says, these are Middle Eastern business negotiations. Turn your back, they'll stab you. He says, this is not what it looks like. This is cutthroat. So Avram realizes what's going on. So Avram says, okay, let's start with names. I want to talk to Ephron. I want him to sell me, right? Make it mine. Sell me. Bekesef male, yitneneli. Sell me for money. Now Ephron's caught in the spotlight. You know, Lenei b'nei ches. He's in the public now. It's public pressure. So what does he respond? He makes no mention of kesef. Beautiful diuk. He says, Hasadana satilach, v'amar shabaluchana satia, Lenei b'nei ami, everyone's watching. Kavar me'esacha. No mention of money, no mention of sale. No satilach, as if say, I give you permission to bury her. It's not going to be yours, it'll be my sadeh. I give you permission. Now the ball's in Avram's court. And Avram says, Achem atalu shmeni, just listen to me already. What does Avram say? Nasati kesef hasadeh kachemeni. I'm paying for this thing. I'm not taking it as permission to bury in your field. I'm paying for it. I want it to be mine. So what does Ephron do in response? Okay, money you want? 400 shekel kesef, which Elitzur says, look in Shoftim Yud Zayin Yud. The yearly salary at that time was 10 shekel kesef. A year's salary is 10 shekel kesef, 400 shekel kesef, 40 years worth of salary. Okay, deal. No man would agree to that in their right mind. And what does Avram say? He doesn't respond. He just, Vayishkol Avram. Here it is. Okay, on the spot. I'm buying it. Why does the pasuk emphasize that at the end of the dialogue? Vayakam hasada, vahamara shabo. And then, not just the ma'ara and the sada, but the kol ha'etz, Pasuk describes how Avram purchased not the Ma'ara only, but the Sada and the trees. Why do I care about the trees? This is all about the grave. The trees, the field, who cares? Teretz, this is more about Avram's first purchase of the land in Eretz Israel. Yes, it was his. The trees, the field, everything was his. He owned it from that point on. Beautiful, beautiful diuk. The Musar being that person can be the Eis Tzara. Person can be facing a terrible challenge and tragedy. But Avram had the ability to see through that and to channel his energy and emotional pain into a furtherance of his pursuit of the divine dream that had been promised to him. His Avodas Hashem, Sarah's goal, her objective in life, was to take control of the land for their children. That was Avram still maintained that as his goal, even at such an Eis Tzara, and that transformed the tragedy into opportunity. Unbelievable. The little boy in the 1930s who was kicked down the stairs by that Muslim Arab guard, 30 or so plus years later, was now a general in the IDF, was appointed to the head of the IDF Central Command. His name was Rochavam Ze'evi. One of his first orders as chief of IDF Central Command was to demolish that despicable staircase that stopped the Jews from climbing beyond the seventh step. Amazing, amazing. Looking beyond the challenges and furthering the pursuit of the divine promise of Eretz Yisrael for Kaddish, for Klal Yisrael. As a postscript, I have a member of my shul, an older woman who is many generations Yerushalmi on her mother's side. Her father was a lawyer in British Mandate Palestine, Dr. Mordechai Buxbaum. If you've ever seen Mechon Yerushalayim Sfarim, founded by Rav Yosef Buxbaum, that's this woman's brother. Her father, Mordechai Buxbaum, was a lawyer in British Mandate Palestine. In 1927, he married this woman, Mishael's mother, Rivka. Her name was Rivka Amdursky. Rivka Amdursky was the daughter of a very prominent hotel owner in the Old City of Jerusalem named Yerachmiel Amdursky. But because he owned a hotel in the Old City that was frequented by many, many people, at the wedding of this shul member's parents, Rivka Amdursky and Mordechai Buxbaum, the Masada Kedusha was Rav Kook. Shavuot Brachos were said by Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. And one of the other honored guests was the Mufti of Jerusalem, Yimach Shmo v'Zichro, Hitler's lackey, Haj Amin Al-Husseini. These were the guests at this woman and Mishul's parents' wedding. So Haj Amin Al-Husseini asked the hotel owner, this woman's grandfather, Mr. Amdursky, what can I give your daughter and her husband as a gift? 1927. So Yerachmiel Amdursky responded, I want to go with my wife, my daughter, and her chassan to daven in the Ma'aris Machpelah. And the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem wrote an official letter, which they took to the Qadi of Hebron, forcing the Qadi of Hebron to allow these two from Jewish couples to daven in the Ma'ara. It was such an unprecedented event that the Gedolei Yisrael of Cook and Rav Zonnenfeld gave them Kvitlach to daven for them in the Ma'ara. Unbelievable. And as they entered past that eighth step, much to his chagrin, the guard, the Muslim guard, had to let them in, but he made them take their shoes off, because it's a mosque, in his mind. A few months later, the Ger Rebbe was with his chassidim at the Maros Machpelah, as I mentioned before, and a bunch of his chassidim got arrested for climbing onto the eighth step. They were arrested by the Brits, put on trial by the great British government in Palestine, and the Muslim Qadi, who was part of the prosecuting team, is yelling and screaming in court, never in centuries has this mosque been defiled by the presence of Jews. And the lawyer for the Ger Hasidim was none other than this young chassan, Mordechai Buxbaum, wearing the white British wig for judges, therefore unrecognizable, walks up to the judge, pulls off his wig, points to the Qadi with the letter of the Mufti in his hand. He said, you're a liar. I was there a few months ago, and here's my letter to prove it. You held my shoes. This Hasidim were then acquitted from the charges against them. Gevalda Gemaisa. I'm sorry for taking so much time from this morning's halacha shir to share with you, but gotta love Chavron, gotta love Hashkocha Pratis, gotta love Geula unfolding in front of our eyes during our lifetime. Unbelievable. Okay.